Excision number 12542, reel 1.
Mr. Philip Parrier, reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Sark.
Which part of Sark were you born?
The north side, at La Tour, at the north end of the island.
And what did your father do for a living?
Farming. I took farming. I followed his footsteps.
Are all your ancestors from Sark?
Yes, we're pure Sark. Well, otherwise, no. My grandfather came from Jersey. My grandfather came from Jersey. My father's father came from Jersey.
So is Perry Jersey?
Jersey name, yes.
And what language did you speak when you were young? What is your mother tongue?
Sark. Yes, well, I've got to speak, when I speak to you in English, I've got to translate it from Sark to English. That is why sometimes I'm a bit backwards in coming forward.
Voudrez-vous parler en votre patois, s'il vous plaît?
Well, what are you yet? Where have you been today? And nous allons voir une ring plus tard. C'est comme ça.
Can you understand ordinary French people?
Oh yes, I can speak good French. Yes, I've been to France and here and there. I went to the Normandy landings 2 years ago, which I was pleased to go.
And is the Sark patois the more or less the same as Guernsey and Jersey patois?
Oh yes, but it's dying out now. They're all anglicised now.
But do you still speak the patois?
Amongst ourselves. But getting fewer and fewer, you know, as they go, they die and getting fewer and fewer.
Did you go to school in Sark?
I went to the day school till I was 11. Then the authorities jumped on my father's back. And he clocked me in from 7 o'clock. Night till 9.
Why did the authorities jump on your father's back?
Because
what was the problem?
I wasn't 14. See, I was then. You had to go to school till you were 14, and I was only 11. And I was driving fare-paying passengers around the island.
So you weren't attending the school.
I wasn't attending the school. See, it was all right during the holidays, but when the school started, I had to go to school. And that's, so he clocked me in from 7 in the evening till 9 o'clock at night.
You told me that you were born in 1924?
23, yes.
So you were 11 in 1935?
That's right. And I took people around.
And who were the authorities on the island in the 30s? Was it the Dame of Sark?
Oh, yes, she was much the Dame, yes. And there was the schoolmaster was the seneschal. And there was the greffier and the sheriff. And they were all old stagers, you know.
What were they like?
Oh, very nice, yes, understanding.
Did you meet the Dame of Sark?
Oh, Lord, yes. She was very nice.
Was she a formidable woman?
Oh, yes. We used to have our ding-dongs now and again. We didn't always see eye to eye, but we always best of friends, you know.
In what ways did you have quarrels with her?
Well, I can't think of anything offhand now, but... I can't think of him because it was only petty, you know, really.
What job were you doing when the Germans arrived?
I was working for my father. I remember when Mr. Gill, then he was the sheriff, and he came up to my father and he said, look, he said, I've had orders from Guernsey. If anybody wants to evacuate. That was on the 27th of June. And if they want to evacuate, they go down the boat at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and there'll be a boat to fetch them. So we went home and we decided that we had too much. There was horses. My father had a big livery stable. We had 11 horses and cows and what, and it was too much to leave the horses. And just as well we did that, because we didn't get ready to go, because we're still waiting for the boat to come. It never arrived because they bombed that same evening. 3 planes passed over Sark, over us, north of the island. And we saw the crosses, German crosses, and the swastika. And there's 3 planes there, and they flew to Guernsey and they bombed Guernsey. And we could see the smoke, and they killed quite a few in Guernsey. There's the memorial plaque on the quay there. From the Royal Hotel up to the mail boat, it was queued up with grapes and, well, not grapes, but tomatoes. There was a queue there of vans and lorries, not many lorries, it was all horse-drawn vehicles. And they were all under bombs there, and the horses went berserk, and they were killed, some of them. Poor devils, they got underneath the lorries at the way of the shrapnel, and the lorries caught fire.
What do you remember about the Germans first arriving on this island?
They came by boat, and 7 of them, only 7, and they came and they went to the seigneury and gave the dame the orders, the restrictions, what we had, and curfew and what have you. And
did you see those 7 soldiers?
Yes, we saw them, yes, saw them later on. And then they went back, and they came back the following day with quite a few, and they took Belle Hotel, which was at the top of the hill, and that's where their headquarters are, where the Midland Bank is now. That used to be a big hotel. And the picture is in Bel Air Bar now. They converted the farmhouse into an hotel, into the bar. And because it was burned down in 43, we had a terrible cold winter, and they had bogey stoves, and it was a thatched roof. And the thatched roof, they put the pipes through the thatched roof and lit the fire and made a devil of a fire and caught the hotel afire. All the roof went. And it was burnt to the ground in an hour and a half.
How many Germans were on the island? Just the 7?
Oh no, there was about 100 then.
100?
Mm. Yes. Oh yes, we had as many as somewhere around, it was difficult to say, but there was about 300, 350 at the end.
How did they behave on the island?
They behaved reasonably well, yes. You treated them like a beehive, you know. That's what I say, you treated them like a bunch of bees. If you tantalized them, they stung you, but if you didn't, and you had to pretend to be working all the time, they didn't like layabouts. You know.
Were they supervising work?
No, but they had a keen eye. You know, they always threw their eye and made sure that you were earning your keep, as it were.
Did anybody on the island try to tantalize them?
Not really, no, not really, no. And when the because we had a flourishing business when the war broke out, and the bottom fell out of the basket. So I took to fishing, and I adopted an old fisherman. He wasn't fishing anymore. So I said to him, I said, will you come and if I buy a boat, will you come fishing with me? I says, Phil, he says, I'm too old, I'm too small, because he was
short,
very short, and he was well in his 70s. So I says, you haven't answered my question. So he says, well, he says, I said, will you come with me fishing? And he says, well, I'll give you a fortnight and see. So I bought a rowing boat, and we rowed. And I said, I'm not bothered about your strength nor your age. I said, I've got the muscle, and I'll drive you where you want to go. So I used to row, and funny enough, I made one mistake during the war. Was I registered the boat in my name instead of his name. Because I was young and I was proud of my boat, very stupidly, and I wasn't a bona fide fisherman, so they wouldn't allow me petrol after I converted my boat. They wouldn't allow me any petrol. So it's all right. And I had a petrol by that time, it was 42. And by the time I bought a petrol tractor to help us with the farming, and petrol to them was like water. They used to wash their boots with it.
Petrol.
Germans, yes, and the tractors, and not the tractors, the cars, and that they used to wash their cars with petrol. So they came and said to me, "said we want to plow." Because they commandeered quite a lot of ground and in the minefields. So says, I want you to come and plough for me, for us. So I said, no, I said, I'm too busy. So he says, how much will you charge? And thinking that I'd push him off, I said, £3 a day, and you find everything. So he says, no, it's much too much. I said, well, that's all, that's my price, and that's it. See. So they came back, and they said that this was only a private. He said, I'll speak to the commandant. So the commandant came, he sent him back, and he said, that's too much. But he says, give me 5 marks an hour. That was £1.18 an hour. They won't give me £3, but they give me £1.18 an hour. So I scratched my head and pretended that I was going to lose, you know. So I said, well, if I say no, what are you going to do? So we take your tractor. So I double pay on Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, yeah. He says, it's all right. That's it. So I said, give me some petrol and fill me up. And full cask of petrol. I says, no, he says, we'll fill you up every night for in the morning. And for 6 weeks, they filled me up. And the morning, next morning, it was empty, as good as empty. There'd be about an hour's work in the tank. I'd softened it out. Filled up my four casks of petrol in the garden, buried four casks and
buried what?
Four casks, barrels, and I went fishing. So I didn't have to be a bona fide fisherman. I used to go fishing, and I was freelance. I could do what I liked with my fish. I didn't have to give it to them or sell it to them. I used to look after the old fogies and sark, the old ladies that couldn't have some fish or anything like that. and I used to supply the old people with fish.
What kind of fish did you catch?
Conger and skate and mackerel.
And cod?
Cod? No, not cod, no.
How far out did you go?
We were only allowed 3 miles. 3 miles out. That was the restriction. All boats were restricted to 3 miles and 3 miles.
Did you obey that or disobey?
Occasionally, when you'd lose the direction, you know. That they used to have a patrol boat and they used to pull us in.
Did you ever think of trying to use your boat to escape?
We did quite often, but they were too close to us. The patrol boat was always on the scene, and there was only one harbour, and you couldn't. There was always a guard down there. She went down there. You were found out, you know. You couldn't have escaped very easily.
Did you know of anybody who did escape?
Not from here, but in Guernsey they did. In Jersey. Mm. Oh, Mr. Noyon, he was a... I can't think of his Christian name, but Noyon. Fred Noyon. And he went with all the information of how... from the States to let us know, to let them know how we stood just before the liberation.
Could you catch plenty of fish? Or was there a shortage?
No, there wasn't a shortage then. No. You used to catch it willy-nilly, you know.
It was easy.
Yes. There was plenty of it. But now it's overfished. Unfortunately.
What?
Lobsters, you used to catch lobsters 4 and 5 pounds. In weight, but today you only have the large shrimps, you know.
So you had lobster pots, did you?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm.
Where did you put the lobster pots?
All around in the lobster grounds, you know. Mm.
Where did you get your nets from?
Second hand, you had to be prepared. They were almost, well, we were constantly mending them, you know.
From this island?
Yes, from here, yes.
Guernsey?
We used to buy them from Guernsey, yes.
Mm. Were you allowed to travel to Guernsey or the other Channel Islands or France?
We had no doctor here, no dentist. We had to rely on the German doctor for medical reasons. But for dentists, we had to go to Guernsey. You had to have a permit. That's where I lost all my teeth. I wasn't going to be deprived of my visit to Guernsey. So I used to go to Guernsey. And you had to show your tooth to the German before he gave you the permit. Then you go to Guernsey and have it out and show it to him when you come back. But I was cunning enough. I used to make one tooth last twice. I used to make my appointment to my dentist, and then the following time I used to have it out. And my tooth, one tooth used to last 2 trips.
Why was it that you wanted specially to go to Guernsey? To buy things?
Well, no, not really, but they were very, very poor in Guernsey. The full vegetable market was, they had no vegetables there. The only thing they had, potato peelings, and they, when they bought them, they couldn't, they had nothing to cook them with. They had to separate it in milk or something like that, but they were very, very poor. And there was a friend of ours, which had been, well, my age, she'd been born next door to me at the four. And she married a Cornishman that had come to work down the harbour. And his work took him to Guernsey during the war, and she followed him. and her parents was worried for her. So I used to go to Guernsey and stayed with her for the weekend and took what I could of potatoes, and occasionally I'd take a loaf as well. Now I always took a basket of potatoes, which we had plenty of potatoes. We were very fortunate.
Were you able to take any of your fish to Guernsey?
Yes, occasionally. But it was only a small boat, and it was only a 16-footer, and we couldn't go as far as Guernsey, you know, really. Unless it was... But
because it's 9 miles.
9 miles, yes. And we had to come back.
So the people in Guernsey were worse off for food than the people in Sark, were they?
Oh, yes, because they had a town to keep. We had no town here, you see. Everybody had a back garden and that, and they used to go there invisible. We were getting sick of being cabbage looking, you know, but we never starved.
You lived on cabbage?
Well, cabbage and vegetables, you know.
What kind of foods would you have liked to have had during the war which you couldn't get on Sark?
Well, I don't really know, because you're rather spoiled for choice now. But it would have been nice to have a nice piece of meat, you know.
So you couldn't get any meat?
We were allowed a quarter of a pound a week.
Of beef?
Beef, yes. Meat of any description. You had fish, yes, you had fish galore. But not meat.
What about bread?
Bread, we were allowed a pound every 2 days. But we were never without bread in Guernsey and Jersey. There were 6 weeks without bread, which is an awful long time for a Channel Islander to be here without bread. But we had plenty of bread, providing we rationed it, you know.
What kind of bread was it? Rye or wheat?
Wheat.
Not the black bread?
No.
Did you have ration books?
Yes, we had ration books, yes. Mm. Yeah.
What were the things that were rationed apart from meat and bread?
Flour. Flour was rationed, and it was mostly clothes that was rationed, really. Clothes were very rationed.
Did you get any new clothes in the war, or did you have to use your pre-war?
We had to have pre-war ones, yes. Mm. They had the utility ones, but they didn't last.
So were you all getting raggy?
Well, yes and no. The housewives used to be very good menders, you know. They used to keep us tidy. We might have been patched, but we were clean and tidy.
Mm. What about tea and coffee? Could you get those?
Oh, no, you couldn't get those, no. No, coffee and tea. Tea, they used to... Somebody used to order tea. And for harvest Thanksgiving, they used to give an ounce or 2 ounces of tea. And after the service and that, they used to auction it. It was nothing to pay £5 for 2 ounces of... 2 ounces of tea, £5. But it was five pounds of marks. It was, to us, they were worthless, you know.
What about alcohol and tobacco?
Oh, that was non-existent. It was banned.
Banned?
Yes. And
banned it?
The Germans banned the alcohol, because if they'd been drink about, and they would have drank, and you know how tempers rage that would have made it worse. But cigarettes, you were allowed 20 cigarettes a week.
Did you smoke and drink before the war?
No. I drank during the war. I had my first drink at D-Day, when D-Day came, 6th of June, 1944, wasn't it? D-Day.
Yes, when
I got to Guernsey, I was in Guernsey then, and there was a pub down Fenton Street, which was called the Brighton, and Percy Dormont, I think, ran it then, and I think he's dead, and he says, I'm just looking for you. He says, I've got Jersey, Guernsey, Alderney, and I want a representative from Sark. He says, come in. And I went in and went upstairs and gave me some drinks. All the officials of the island were there. They were all having drinks and big cigars. And I'd never smoked cigars before, and I never drank spirits. Anyway, he gave me a drink, and nearly blew my head off. I had a couple of drinks, but it was drinks, you know.
What was it, gin?
Brandy, whiskey, I don't know what the devil it was. And drank it like lemonade, as it was. And it hit me. And he says to me, he says, all right, if you want to go out, he says, you've done your stuff. He says, you've represented Sark. So he says, you can go if you like. Because I think he could see me change. So I got done. He says, hang on a minute, I'll make sure that everything is clear. Because we were afraid of Germans. And I stood on the landing and I went zoom, 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 and down on my chin. I finished off on my chin. What a chin I had. Anyway, I got up again and walked across the road and finished off alongside the market. I was walking up the walking up the road and the wall of the market. So I got up on my feet and I swayed around, and there was a bakehouse a little further down, Mrs. Slow, and there was a loaf in the exhibit. They were exhibiting it, and I fell inside, and she said, oh, and the little old lady with a wicker basket came down the road and said, oh, she said, what a shame to see a young fellow like you in that state. And I had the presence of mind to say, I said, yes, Gran, I said, I've been laying in the sun. And I'm giddy. So after that, I climbed up again. I walked home, where I was staying, down to Mrs. Mitchell, number 4 High Street. And I opened the door, and the door opened faster than I expected it to. And I felt